I'm David.
And I'm Matt.
And you're listening to the Mastering Mondays podcast. Welcome to this week's episode of Mastering Mondays, brought to you by No More Bad Mondays. Today, we're diving into the world of tech in education, and who better to join us than Kate Wiles, a UK ambassador for Microsoft Minecraft and a Tech Woman 100 Award winner for Emerging Talent. Welcome.
How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
We're doing very well, and we're very, very pleased to have you here. Education is a bit of a kind of a different direction for us in terms of this podcast. So yeah, it's great to have you with us.
So first off, Kate, congratulations on winning the Tech Woman 100 Award last year. And as David mentioned, you're a UK ambassador for Microsoft Minecraft Education. So to kick things off, could you share your journey with us? How did you get to where you are now? What led you to focus on tech education?
I've been working in the FE sector for, 16 years now. So that's quite a long time. Seen a lot of changes along the way, obviously. Technology has evolved so rapidly in the past couple of years. I've kind of seen it from, you know, when we were literally figuring out how to use Google to creating our own chatbots nowadays, you know. So my interest in tech has really blossomed, especially over the past sort of 3 to 4 years with that rapid increase, which led me to take quite an interest, obviously, how that's going to fit with education and what I do at Nottingham College, which is where I work now as a learning tech coach. And we kind of recognised the fact that staff and students were hungry to learn more about what type of technology is out there, for not just for their everyday work, but also for their studies, how it's going to make life easier, you know, really to kind of get that exploring head on. Which led me to become a Tech Woman 100 for the work that I did at college and across the sector, really.
So in your role as further education technology coach, you're deeply involved in vocational education. Where do you see level 2 and 3 vocational education, like GCSEs and A-levels, fitting in when it comes to preparing students with skills for the workforce?
That is a big question, especially with my role, because I'm quite passionate about embedding computer science elements into every subject that we've got. I found that's kind of where the Minecraft education thing comes in for us. Basically, Nottingham College, it's got quite a diverse spectrum of people that work there, students that come to us, not necessarily from the best start in life. So we were looking at different types of styles and different ways of engaging our students into actually wanting to be at college and wanting to get that education that's going to set them up on the right path for a career that they might never have thought that they could do. And that's where, you know, that little light bulb moment for me is like, well, you know, look at the future of careers. What is embedded in careers? Everything from, you know, a trade, say, like bricklaying or something like that, up to engineering and all of that. There is going to be some kind of tech involved no matter which path you take. That's where we were looking at, let's embed computer science into everything we do. And Minecraft Education is just an absolute fabulous platform to enable us to actually do that.
In terms of the actual delivery of skills coaching, when it's not, say, relating to computer science, programming, etc., how do you think no-code and low-code platforms like Power Apps, for example, or is it AppSheets in Google, will impact on the way we deliver skills coaching and workplace training when, for example, there may be the opportunity for a coach or a tutor to design the platform that they're delivering that training on?
I think that's a really good point. And again, it's kind of like us taking control of our delivery and how we're sort of getting that information across, but also using elements of computer science that aren't necessarily just reserved for the computer scientists. Going back to the Minecraft education thing, I started delivering that with our SEN students who never ever thought that they would ever get a chance to explore coding, you know, even anything to do with Microsoft and that kind of thing.
J- Just for those who may be listening who don't know the acronym SEN, that's special educational needs students, isn't it?
That's correct. We kind of did a bit of a pilot with Minecraft along those lines, where we were finding out that our students and staff, to answer that question, were getting a little bit sort of fed up with the traditional methods of delivery. And we were finding that, you know, attention spans were waning, the attendance wasn't particularly brilliant, and our grades weren't really where we wanted them to be. So it started out with the fact that we asked our students, you know, what do you like doing? You know, what do you do in your spare time? Let's find out what's going on. And of course, in this day and age, our young people do love to game. So gaming was hot on the list, which I was quite pleased about because I'm quite into that myself. But Minecraft just kept coming up again and again and again. And I thought, wow, you know, this is really interesting, because Minecraft, if you're not familiar with the platform, it's somewhere where you can build absolutely anything you like. You can start from scratch. You can start from pre-built worlds of, you know, deserts and jungles and, yeah, anything is possible on Minecraft. It's all about using your imagination. And this is where we kind of brought Minecraft education version into our classrooms, and it literally transformed those classrooms that were wanning and were becoming quite stale into really great spaces of kind of enjoyment, and the students were just gravitated towards it. It was fantastic.
So used in the right way, those different ways of delivering can really kind of brighten up a classroom and really engage students with by using elements that they find interesting in other parts of their lives.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that initial question was, now I look back on that, and that was, you know, many years ago now, was such an important question to ask. Instead of us as educators thinking, I'm going to do this because I think this is going to work, you know, we really did get our students involved from the get-go to find out, you know, what's going to get your bum on that seat? What is going to get you to come to college, sit down through that lesson, and at the end of it, leave and go, that was absolutely brilliant. I can't wait to come back tomorrow. And that's where, you know, I think that starting point was the initial catalyst for everything that's kind of gone from it. And obviously my Tech Woman 100 awards kind of sort of developed out of that, and my Minecraft Education UK ambassador status.
That Tech Woman 100 award, that's a significant achievement. What, you know, what does that recognition mean to you personally?
Oh, thanks, David. It was, the nice thing about that award was that you have to be nominated by somebody that's recognised your talent. So I was nominated, which I was quite surprised about, because I just kind of go along with what I do. And it's about the impact you've made on students, well, in my case, students, but it's across all sectors that use technology. So there's women from, you know, healthcare, business, finance, everything. And oddly, I was one of only a handful of women from education, which kind of made me really think how special that award is and what an impact I've made with my gamification interest and looking at different kinds of pedagogy.
Obviously, that's a gender-related award. Do you see the tech industry evolving in terms of gender balance and the profile of the workforce? And do you think that that has something to do with the kind of technical skills that are involved in working in that sector now? You know, the movement from programming that demands almost kind of machine code level programming to now this declarative type programming?
I think things like the Tech Woman 100 really just recognize sort of significant sort of female contribution to what is, you know, a very sort of male-dominated industry, and it always has been, engineering has been. And if you speak to young women these days, a lot of them have never really been encouraged to embark on a career in engineering or computer science or anything along those lines, anything in STEM, really, which is you know, it's quite worrying, because look at the industry. I mean, we need a gender balance in that industry, especially when it comes to AI technologies and bias and all of that's going on. I think we are getting there. We are making progress. We've got a long way to go. I work as a mentor for a a mentorship program called Tech Up with Durham University as well. And that kind of encourages sort of young women as well to really get involved with just giving it a go. Yeah, look at a role model. There are female role models out there, but we're just not visible. So, you know, coming on platforms like this, thank you guys. Really, I think you're helping the cause there. And also the Tech Woman 100 is such a great platform to kind of go, you know, you are welcome. Women are welcome. We've got a lot to contribute towards this. And we're going to make a massive difference if we get more and more young women into the industries.
You mentioned about progression and, you know, there's obviously some really good signs that the industry is moving forward. So you're seeing that in the classroom as well. And is that perhaps because of things like Microsoft Minecraft?
Yes, I'm a big advocate for STEAM, obviously STEM, but with the A in it. So the A, if you're not aware, stands for art. My actual background is fine art. I used to run an art gallery many, many moons ago. So it's very odd that my life now has kind of taken this kind of bizarre twist into technology. But thinking about it, I think it really does marry up. We do need that extra kind of creative input. And looking at programs like Minecraft Education, it's the ideal place to start. I think especially with young people, it's not an intimidating platform. It's a familiar platform for many. Bright, colourful, you get introduced to the characters, all of that. You can design your own avatars. So if you're not a particular confident learner, you don't particularly like school, you might go in there and redesign the way you want to look in that Minecraft world into being a superhero, say. But that's you. You know, that's your image in there. So again, it goes back to the STEAM element. It's the imagination, the creativity. You can be whoever you want to be in these wonderful blocky worlds that we have. So I have strong belief that using Minecraft Education has really encouraged a lot of young women to take that leap into, you know, giving it a try, giving coding a try, programming a try, you know, just showing that they can actually do it and they're welcome.
With tools like Google's BigQuery, which uses SQL, Microsoft's Copilot, which generates PowerFX, you know, the way we interact with technology is changing quite quickly. How do you see basic coding skills evolving in the age of AI? You know, given that anyone can now create simple scripts using natural language, you know, how important is that specialist knowledge and business acumen for securing internships or jobs? What's your thoughts on that shift from imperative to declarative in terms of programming?
I think that there is a shift and it's becoming a norm, but that's kind of my mission really, to kind of get people to understand the very basics of this kind of technology. Funny you should say that, David, because we've got a brand new experience in Minecraft Education called Game Code. It's literally just been released and it will take you through the very basics of Python coding when you don't actually realize you're doing it. So it'll introduce you to things like if blocks and, you know, little bite-sized lessons on all different tiny bite-sized bits of coding. But at the end of the actual experience, the students have created their own arcade game. So they've actually recreated a piece of software almost, but not really realizing that they're doing it. So if we can embed that into the curriculum, I think it really gives our young people a good stance of a really good kind of knowledge of what's to come with what's expected in a career, especially when it comes to the basics of programming and computer science as a whole.
And I guess that even if you are depending on these tools to create code for you, you still need to sense check it. You still need to know that it's doing what you're expecting it to do. And so that kind of conditional thinking has to be there to evaluate that code.
Yeah, absolutely. And the beauty of that program was that because it is very simple block coding, it's written in Python behind the block codes, if you know what I mean. So block code, as an example, is like putting two bits of Lego together and making something happen. So you have to go through the process to put the two right bits of Lego together to make your arcade game work. So they are learning that you can't just go to AI and go, you know, write me a program. Well, you could, but it might not necessarily be right. So I think that's a really important point, that yeah, you can do that, but you're not learning anything through that. And really, is it going to do what you want it to do? And if it doesn't, how are you going to fix that? So by teaching them through the block coding, they are kind of thinking, ah, you know, if I put that block there, it's going to do that because I've learned that through that Minecraft education activity that I've done. Yeah. So I think that's how that works.
Yeah, it's certainly important because one of the, enduring conversations we're having with guests is about governance and how you govern activity in terms of app creation and rollout when it's being done by people across a whole business as opposed to being constrained to a particular group of programmers.
Let's talk a little bit more about Minecraft. So we know it's a popular tool for education. I first got to experience it during BET last year and thought it was great. For the benefit of our listeners, can you first explain what Microsoft Minecraft for Education is? Now, we know Minecraft is a game and it's available and my nephew's obsessed with it. But what is it in terms of, well, what can it do for education? How is that enhancing the learner's experience?
Minecraft is the most popular, most played game that's ever been invented, believe it or not, which I think is amazing. So the brilliant people at Mojang Studios thought, hang on a minute, we've got this many people playing our platform. It's fantastic. And it's so dynamic. And you can, like I explained before, you know, you can be who you want to be. You can change whatever you want. You can mine stuff. You can break stuff. You can build stuff. Why not create a education version? So Mojang Studios, the creators of Minecraft, got together with quite a wide spectrum of educators. So it is built on the opinions of educators to create the education version of Minecraft. So if you've never experienced it, but you understand Minecraft, it looks exactly the same, which if you come from a learner's perspective, that's absolutely great because it's really familiar and it's really comfortable and it's something that those students like to do in their spare times with their friends. So actually sort of putting them onto the Minecraft education platform is not a scary thing because it's something that they already know and love and they know the characters, the two main characters, Alex and Steve, who follow through with our Minecraft education as well. That's how it kind of came around. And it's just got bigger and bigger. Obviously, BET, we had a great big stand at BET. And I hope you enjoyed all the stuff on there. That was really cool. It's just getting bigger and bigger. And the nice thing about it at the minute is that I think it's being recognised more widely in the UK, which a couple of years back when I was started out doing this, it really wasn't. It was very much an American thing. And it seemed very commonplace in America, which was quite exciting, especially in primary schools. You know, they were really kind of getting their young people in primary schools to do block coding and all kinds of stuff, you know, AI ethics and all these wonderful things. So finally, we are making a dent with that over in the UK. And, conversations like this is really great because hopefully it will sort of bring that awareness and almost add it to educators' toolkits as well as something that they can access through Microsoft to use ad hoc. We have embedded it into our SEN curriculum so far. That was our pilot, which was a couple of years ago. But it doesn't have to be something that you would run every week. The beauty of Minecraft, it does come in sort of pre-built lessons. So you can pick and choose whether you want to embed it into your schemes of work throughout the academic year. So at the minute, we're in conversations with people like fashion. You know, if you want to create your own fashion show, let's do a little bit of Minecraft for that, you know. Recently, a lovely example was that I had some students who weren't particularly able-bodied, so they couldn't get around very easily, and they wanted to put on a theatre production. So the actual thought of trying to get our students out into a theatre that could accommodate them correctly and stand on a stage and do all of that, it just wasn't feasible. And quite a few of our students said, there's absolutely no way I'm doing that because that is ultra scary. I'm not standing on a stage in front of people, but I kind of want to do it. So we did it in Minecraft. We designed our characters, we branched off and we designed what kind of play we're going to do. We did some research around, the different jobs that people do in theatres. We created the audience. And the final result from that was a beautiful production of a play that was written by our students, designed by our students, built on Minecraft education by our students, voiceovers, and there you go. You know, they'd actually managed to produce something that physically they wouldn't be able to do. So in a way, that was really quite life-changing for those students because they'd never experienced that before. And that really does highlight the power of Minecraft education when it comes to inclusivity.
Is there an age limit to all this? Do older students disengage? I'm guessing not, because what we're saying here really is they're learning whilst they're playing the game, so what really could be better? But is there an age limit?
Not really. I'm currently trying to explore whether our higher education students would entertain having a go at Minecraft. But we did speak to some of our computer science A-level students. Obviously, we're in FE, so that's quite high level for us. And they're really interested in looking at how the game is built. So it all depends on what level you want to explore. Like I said before, there's lots of pre-made lovely activities you can do within the platform, and they are specified by certain age ranges. It doesn't mean that you can't do it if you're not in a certain age range. It just depends on what kind of ability you have when it comes to kind of navigating the platform. But before we started Minecraft education, I think it's really important to mention that we began our journey with another program called The Hour of Code. I don't know if you've ever heard of The Hour of Code. This is amazing. It's open source, so anyone can have a go at this one. And I do recommend that you do. Obviously, after listening to this, jump on your computer and have a look for The Hour of Code. And what that does is exactly that. It is an hour of code where you will be challenged to navigate around, I think it's about 12 different activities. There is a specific Minecraft education area there. So it's almost like a little taster into what's possible if you did choose to jump into the platform itself. And again, it would introduce you to those very basics of block coding, and you can actually switch your code. So what I do with my students, once they've got through kind of the kind of sort of really simple ones, and there's a few other little strange looking blocks that are coming out of nowhere that everyone's scratching their heads thinking, oh my God, I don't know what that does. Once they've figured out the activity, you can flip it. So you can actually see the JavaScript that they've written, and the look on the students' faces is like, no way. Did I just write? I didn't do that. I was like, you did. You know, look what you've done. You've actually put that with that and that, and now you've made it do that. And it's that beautiful light bulb moment where they're going, actually, I did that. I can do that. It's not just for those people in white coats that are in universities that are really smart, and I don't really associate with these people, you know. And that is such a magic thing, and it really does sort of whet their appetite to really jump into the platform and go for it with everything else that's on there.
Do you have any involvement in robotics and the code surrounding robotics and movement, you know, physical movement relating to code?
We don't, unfortunately. That's something I would absolutely love to have at Nottingham College, but I think we are getting there with our engineering department, but it is kind of isolated with that at the minute. But I think, again, you know, Minecraft is a great starting point for that. There's a particular activity on there which enables you to code a little agent robot to make him move around. So you are kind of figuring out, you know, I need to make that thing move. How am I going to do that? You know, I need to make it get up some stairs. How am I going to do that? So again, it's giving you that thinking without actually committing to an engineering course that could be incredibly intimidating. But once you get that bit of logic and just to say, actually, oh yeah, I do get that in a really lighthearted kind of sort of friendly environment, it's, you know, it really is setting our young people up to sort of take that leap if they wish to go into that industry.
If you were going to give one kind of piece of advice to educationalists looking to integrate technological study into their curriculum, you know, what would that one crucial step be? And this may be an educationalist who perhaps isn't particularly comfortable or familiar with the subject.
I would speak to your learning tech coach if you've got one. Our role is very important because we're kind of the bridge between the fear and the non-fear of exploring things. I think a lot of educators are like, I can't do that. I'm too busy. I can't do it. So if you do kind of have that mentality, you're kind of almost putting up that barrier to young people that maybe they do want to have a go. So I think just my biggest tip would be just give it some time. You know, go on the Hour of Code, have a play around, see how you get along, get that little beautiful light bulb moment when you flip around your code and you can see your JavaScript. You know, just see how, in a way, how accessible it is and the kind of the benefits at the end of it when it comes to sort of teaching, learning, and assessment for the teacher as well as the learners that are going to be obviously enjoying whatever they're going to be delivering.
It's all really exciting. And I think I remember seeing this photo and it was of like 100 years ago or something. And it was some kids sat in a classroom with their hands up and the teacher was at the front, you know, with a whiteboard or blackboard then. And then there's a picture 100 years later. So today, and it's exactly the same. They're still kind of sat at a desk. So they've got their hands up and there's someone at the front. So whenever I hear about things like Minecraft going into education, it can only be a good thing. We mentioned it towards the start of our conversation, but it can only be a good thing for education to kind of like, you know, just freshen things up a little bit and kind of, you know, get people that are into other things interested in education. So, you know, we're talking about people that are interested in games, getting them to actually realize that they could be playing a game whilst learning, you know. And I think that's great. And Minecraft's brilliant for that.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because when I first started with Minecraft education, it's like, no, we're not doing that. You're just going to be playing a game. It's like, oh, come on. So it took me a while to kind of convince the powers that be almost that this is definitely, definitely worth looking into. And yeah, I've talked a lot about, you know, the computer science skills of things and the logic and all that. But on the flip side, which I think is just as important, if not more important, is the collaboration between the students, the enjoyment, the confidence boost that it gives them. We've had students that take to this like a duck to water, but others that are actually quite scared and fearful and think they're going to fail, like in any sort of other classroom. But the ones that are good at it will go, oh, come on, I'll show you. And we're bonding these lovely little friendships over the platform, which I've never seen happen before. Or if it's not naturally happening, which to be fair, most of the time it does, I'll go, oh, can you just go and help her out? She's a little bit stuck on that level. And then again, you know, they'll go off to lunch together and chat about it. And, you know, I think that's such a valuable thing in this day and age where, you know, a lot of our young people are quite isolated. But when you do bring them together over a familiar platform such as Minecraft education, like I said, the possibilities are endless. They could end up in a tech career, but they could end up meeting the best friend that they're ever going to meet in their life just on that little platform. And to follow on from that, because it is a collaborative environment, they can actually see each other walking around in the same worlds, which is kind of the activities. And so, you know, I could sit next to you now, but I could also play Minecraft with you and see you in there. Like, I think a lot of young people are used to that if they are gamers, that they could see each other's avatars. But to do that in an education setting, I think is, you know, again, it just gives that lovely boost of enthusiasm and engagement. And yeah, long the short of it is our assessment rates went up.
That's the end result they want, isn't it? So brilliant. Kate, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been really interesting to hear about your experiences and insights, particularly on how technology is shaping education with things like Minecraft. We appreciate you being with us on this episode of Mastering Mondays. Thank you very much.
No, thanks for having me. It's been lovely. Thanks, guys.